The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, pretty good. We're not going to talk too much about COVID stuff today, other than to say that unfortunately Israel's reached a new peak in terms of the number of new cases diagnosed in one day, more than 1,700 for us. That's a huge number. Some threats about a potential renewed lockdown even as near as next week. Some people think it's just simply a threat, so it's not quite sure whether there's anything really to be said about it, whether there's any real expectation that a lockdown will take place. But perhaps more exciting is the fact that the Defense Ministry has this week begun to receive first images from the new Ofek satellite that we spoke about last week that was launched from Israel. So that's now working. Apparently, this is kind of more of a defense-oriented satellite, which is going to be getting information from some of our enemy countries, apparently. Not much more has been said than that, but the images are working, so it seems as if those all systems go for Ofek 16. Very, very exciting indeed.
It really is. Anton Marvick just mentioned that drug that that Israel or one of the Hebrew universities, Jerusalem Hebrew universities, just announced. I'm very skeptical. I find that every 15 minutes Israel's making another breakthrough announcement. But for these things to actually be translated into something real, it either just doesn't happen or it just takes a while. So I've become a little bit skeptical about many of these announcements.
I absolutely agree with you, and I have a certain skepticism about it as well. Nothing like Dr. Myberg stealing a little bit of our thunder, but okay, it's obviously come to his attention. This is a study that's been conducted by scientists, researchers at Israel's Hebrew U in conjunction with researchers at New York's Mount Sinai Medical Center. It seems, Howard, to have a little bit more credibility than some of the other things that we've seen up until now. And the reason why I think that is because this is a drug that has already been approved by the FDA. So it doesn't need to go through the whole myriad of the approvals and things like that from a regulatory perspective. This is already a drug that's out there, Fenofibrate. And what they're saying is that what this drug actually does is that it the problem with the way that the coronavirus actually operates is that it prevents the routine burning of carbohydrates, and this results in large amounts of fat accumulating inside lung cells. And this is, for example, why people who have high blood sugar or high cholesterol levels are considered to be particularly at risk because of this congestion in the lungs. And what the team has said that have been examining this particular drug is that the drug somehow manages to reverse that particular issue. So it prevents the virus from preventing the routine burning of carbohydrates. It effectively allows those carbohydrates to continue to be burned, and therefore there is not that fat that accumulates in the lung cells in the way that it does currently under the virus. Who knows whether this is going to be real or not? The study is apparently being published in a journal this week. It's work that's been funded by the European Research Council and the NICO Foundation, as well as Sam and Rena Frankel Foundation. So it seems to have a certain amount of credibility to it. And if it is found to be effective, it's one of those things that come to market very, very quickly, providing the manufacturers can keep up with the demand. So I think we need to be skeptical. But it's certainly a little light, potentially, in this very, very dark tunnel that we find ourselves in at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it certainly does come from all the right places. But let's keep an eye anyway. Israeli assessment shows that Hezbollah in Lebanon is suffering a number of crises that potentially weaken their power. How does this affect Israel's policy in the north, Anthony?
Well, I think the policy in the north remains the same, which is obviously a very, very high level of alert. We know that Israel has continued to be very, very active in particularly in Syria, not so much in Lebanon, but I think that Israel has certainly taken advantage of Lebanese airspace in order to monitor events in Syria. But certainly, apparently Hezbollah is facing a very acute economic crisis. Lebanon as a country seems to be headed for disaster. It seems as if though the U.S. is continuing to demand to jettison Hezbollah. The U.S. ambassador to Lebanon, Dorothy Shea, has also rebuked Hezbollah very, very severely. U.S. has imposed sanctions on Iran. We know that Iran is one of the major benefactors for Hezbollah. But Hezbollah really seems to be facing, having been in that battle in southern Syria for a long time, Hezbollah obviously haven't been involved in that. It seems as if, though, Hezbollah has now really been weakened. I think the combination of the COVID-19 and other factors have served to weaken its position. And apparently, there's a, you know, very, very keen assessment of every word that the Hezbollah leader, Hassan Nasrallah, mentions, and his recent speeches apparently is somewhat concerning and shows some concern about the state of Hezbollah at the moment. So it's interesting that that's an assessment, and alongside that, an Israeli research center has found that that Hezbollah has 28 missile launch sites in the city of Beirut itself, which is quite a shocking piece of information that's it's made public in recent times. I'm not quite sure if it's new to our defense analysts, but it's certainly been made public for the first time. But once again, you know, these missile sites are all fine and well as long as Hezbollah is able to make use of them. They present a huge threat to us in the event that Hezbollah is strong enough to take advantage of them. But in the event that Hezbollah is fighting other battles and is concerned about things which are not related to the Israeli border, I think it gives our IDF soldiers in the Northern Command in particular an opportunity just to regroup, to take advantage of the slightly more relaxed situation in order to brace themselves for what inevitably will be the next battle that will come on the northern border. I don't think that we're kidding ourselves that this means we're not going to have a battle anytime soon. I think it's just a temporary respite, because I have no doubt that they will recover themselves. And of course, the army itself is battling with its own challenges. Quite a number of soldiers have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. 10,000 soldiers in isolation, in quarantine, as a result of having been exposed to others with their virus, including certain quite senior generals. So the IDF is having its own set of challenges right now. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're weakened in any significant way, but, you know, it just means that they're not at full strength. And so while Hezbollah are fighting their battles, it's a good thing that we are not having to be at our full strength during this time as well.
Yeah, absolutely right. An amazing story that an Israeli animation app has won Apple's 2020 Design Award. This is incredible.
I think it is a good thing. I mean, this is an app called Loom. And Loom is spelt with three O's in the middle. How do you pronounce three O's? L-O-O-O-M.
Donati, how do you pronounce three L's?
I thought it was...
Loom. 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 I think it's just Loom.
Loom. It must be. If you pronounce it with an Israeli accent, then you find Loom. Yes.
Apparently, it offers an innovative way for animators to create what they call playful handwritten animation, particularly on Apple's iPads. And apparently the way that you do it is there's like a toy-like accessory, like a wireless controller, remote control, that allows you to do these animations. And the guys who, the two guys who actually, created this app, the two animation artists, Van Erickson and Eran Hilleli, they say that it takes inspiration from music creation tools, because what they've done is they've tried to adopt, tools that have generally been used for the creation of music in the electronic world, and they've adapted them for this particular app. And of course, Apple liked it very much, and they decided to give it one of the Design Awards It's one of 8 apps that have been chosen for the 2020's Design Awards across all of Apple platforms. So this is, I think, a significant achievement for a young Israeli app and a young Israeli company. So those people who are into design animation, have a go at Loom, L-O-O-O-M.
Exactly. I think phenomenal when you see what just the innovation coming out of that little country is just really, really remarkable. Also remarkable, or equally as remarkable, is that a Saudi academic has published research in an Israeli journal. This is now for the very first time. You're just starting to see this impact on all sorts of levels of Israeli society.
Well, this particular story has surprised me in a number of different ways. The first thing is that I had absolutely no idea that there was the study of Near Eastern languages and civilization and Hebrew studies at the King Saud University in Saudi Arabia. Who would have thought that such a course would have been run, or such a department would be available at that university? And the professor, Professor Mohammed Ibrahim Al-Gaban, he is the head of this particular department, and he wrote an article which has now been published in an Israeli journal for the very, very first time. Apparently, this comes as a result of a previous connection that was created between the professor and the editor of this journal. They apparently met on a visit that was made to Riyadh by the Israeli professor back in 2015. And what's interesting about the course that's taught at the King Saud University is the fact that it's only taught to male students, and apparently its curriculum includes work by Yosef Chaim Brenner, Shmuel Agnon, and Etgar Keret. So it's very fascinating that these are the courses that are being studied at this university in Saudi Arabia. And amazing. I agree with you, Howard. It does show an increasing propensity, particularly from Saudi Arabia, to try and create links with Israel. The fact that this professor is not being castigated and is allowed to continue at his job at the university is, you know, somewhat surprising, and certainly doesn't reflect how things have been done in the past. But apparently he's had this close connection, an ongoing connection with Israeli professors and Israeli academics. And he's now published in this particular journal, which is called Keshet, a journal, an Israeli academic journal. And I hope that that means that there will be, you know, further links between the two countries. And who knows, it may ultimately lead to diplomatic relations being developed, because, I mean, that's really where we're hoping that this will all go. And the strange way of the Middle East right now is that, you know, with Saudi being so threatened by Iran and other forces within the Middle East taking place, it seems as if Saudi Arabia is certainly becoming a much closer ally to Israel than has been in the past. So, yeah, fascinating it story. Yeah. And of course, just, you know, going back to some of the corona issues, I did say we weren't going to talk much about it.
And sorry, Anthony, just before you do that, can I also just ask you about, is this the warming of ties between Saudi Arabia and Israel, could that have anything to do with the reports that we were seeing yesterday about the expelling or persecution of the couple of hundred Jews left in Yemen? Or is it completely not linked to that?
I would think that it is not linked to it. I think that there probably are separate but related events going on. In other words, I don't know that the fact that Saudi Arabia is now being seen in the Arab world to being closer to Israel has resulted in the persecution of Jews in Yemen. I don't know that we can directly link those things together. What we know is that in certain parts of the Middle East, there's a warming of ties, and in certain parts of the Middle East, there is not. And when I say there is not, it means that the situation is not necessarily status quo, but that things are actually really going backwards. And what we're seeing, I think, is a greater extremism developing within the Middle East, where camps are very clearly forming more than has been the case before, with Iran really threatening so much of the Middle East and the proxies that Iran has. So, for example, in Yemen, Iran has its proxies, and those proxies are threatening to Saudi Arabia. And so, therefore, this creates a conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran. through Yemen in the same way that Israel has a conflict with Iran via Hezbollah, via Hamas as their proxies around the place. So Iran, I think, is really causing a lot of consternation and a lot of camps to be formed around the Middle East because of the fact that it's funding so many of these different proxy armies in different locations. And those countries that are objecting to the way that Iran operates, objecting to the possibility of Iran having a nuclear weapon, are also having to fight the proxies, one of whom happens to be in Yemen, but of course there are others as well. And so I think that that what we're seeing in Yemen is more related to an Iranian influence than anything else. That's my personal view.
Right.
I don't think there are any right or wrong answers, but that's my assessment of the situation.
Right. And just going back, finally, we've got only 30 seconds left, but COVID. You were about to say something.
I just wanted to talk about the protests that took place again in Jerusalem last night outside the Prime Minister's residence. Lots and lots of protests, people becoming quite violent, people actually causing damage to property, being arrested. There's been a lot of discussion this morning about whether those people are really protesters against what the government is up to and against the treatment and the dealing with the coronavirus, or whether they're simply having these protests have been hijacked by so-called left-wingers, by so-called anarchists. Certainly the level of violence that we've seen, not only directed at the police, but also directed at journalists, is not okay. It's not acceptable. And I can't see how any pro-democracy demonstrators would want to attack the press, which in our country is free. So that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So unfortunately, this does seem to be escalating a little beyond what we would like. I think everybody has the right to demonstrate and to have their say, but violence in this type of this type is really not okay.
Absolutely right. Anthony Rauch, that's where we leave it. Thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.